come to the fourth main subdivision about studying. The entertaining of that thing, of that capital D, the nature of the entertainment, the nature of the entertainment. No. We have noted already, and I think we have proved on exegetical and theological grounds, that when Paul says in Romans 5:12, all sinned, and when in subsequent verses he emphasizes the one sin of the one man, Adam, he is referring to the same event. The same event. The same historical fact. That all sin and one man sin is the same thing. And that would mean, of course, in theological terms, that all sinned in Adam. So that is not expressly what Paul says in Romans 5:12. Nevertheless, that is the meaning. And that is the form he uses in 1 Corinthians 15:22. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And the implication of 1 Corinthians 15:22 is that in Adam all sinned, as in Christ, all will be constituted righteousness. Now, by what mode does the sin of Adam become the sin of all? By what mode, by what method? Is the sin of Adam reckoned as the sin of all in the divine constitution? Good question. We haven't done anything so far to solve that question. I think we have proven the identification, but we haven't said anything as to the method, the modus operandi by which the sin of Adam is the sin of all, or is reckoned as the sin of all, or becomes the sin of all. Now, this is a very important question to me. There are historically speaking two views mediate. Mediate. Now the name associated with mediate imputation is this man who was in the 17th century a professor in France at the theological school of Saumur, Joshua Plateas. Joshua Plateas. No H in Joshua. And of course the French. The French were after simply Lafayette. Nothing to do with the scientists by that name. Gosh, we're in class. And he was active in France at the middle of the 17th century. Now he was understood. To teach that original sin consisted simply and solely in hereditary depravity. In the depravity that is contained by natural generation to all of Adam's posterity. That is the relation of stupor. And consequently, the synod of the Reformed churches in France, meeting in December 1644 and January 1645, condemned that position. And propounded the doctrine that original sin consisted of two elements. Namely, inherited depravity and the imputation of the first sin of Adam. Two elements. And the distinction between mediate imputation and immediate imputation was to this effect in his own term. That immediate imputation implies that the sin of Adam is immediately imputed to posterity because of the relation that Adam sustained to posterity. And is therefore not mediated through hereditary depravity. Not mediated through hereditary depravity. Mediate imputation. Here he contended. means that the first sin of Adam is mediated through hereditary depravity. So you see, in the order of nature, as he called it, in the order of nature, immediate imputation, supposes that Adam's first sin precedes the corruption. His involvement in Adam's first sin precedes corruption. Whereas in the latter case, involvement in Adam's sin is mediated through corruption. And follows upon hereditary depravity. In a word, this is the distinction. According to mediate imputation, the imputation to posterity of Adam's first sin is mediated through the inheritance of a corrupt nature. It's mediated through the inheritance of a corrupt nature. Whereas on immediate imputation, you call immediate The corruption of nature that belongs to posterity and is inherited by natural generation is the consequence of involvement in the first sin of Adam. Consequence of involvement in the first sin of Adam. I won't take notes for a moment. Surely that's easy to remember. Have you ever asked for a brief definition of mediate imputation? Just all you need to say one sentence or two. The imputation of the first sin of Adam through posterity is mediated through the inheritance of a corrupt nature which comes by natural propagation. Whereas on the other view, immediate imputation, the corruption of the inheritance of a corrupt nature is based upon the imputation of the first sin of Adam and is therefore the consequence of it. Now, it's very easy to understand why Lacaille was understood to deny the imputation of Adam's sin altogether. Because even subsequent to the sin, and in the work in which he replies to the decision of the sin, he sins again and again to take the position which is virtual denial of the imputation of Adam's sin. He lays such emphasis upon the inheritance of corrupt nature that even subsequent to this, great men of his day, he created the very impression with which the synod dealt in 1644-1645. Know this view of mediated
has exercised a great influence in the history of the thought on this question. Now, there were men on the continent of Europe who were alleged to teach the doctrine of immediate imputation. There were several men on the continent of Europe
of the sin that is imputed. And I'll come back to that later on. That is what Jonathan Edwards was interested in. The analysis of the nature of the sin that was imputed. It is still held to immediate imputation. No ground for the allegation that Jonathan Edwards held to immediate imputation. Now some of his successors, like Samuel Hopkins,
did espouse something that is somewhat similar to mediatism. But nevertheless, went far beyond the doctrine of mediatism. Samuel Hoffman, disciple of John Connick, he went far beyond the doctrine of mediatism, so that his position really impinges upon the doctrine of the imputation of Adam's sin altogether. Samuel Hopkins really couldn't be called a mediate imputationist in the historic sense of the word. So he took the doctrine of Nicaeus as the starting point for propounding the doctrine, which really meant ultimately the denial of the imputation of Adam's sin altogether. And the same applies to Nathaniel L. Emmons, not in New England. And Timothy Dwight. Nathaniel William Taylor. No, they're not in the same camp as Nicaeus really at all. Because they so diverge from the classic, with all the classic doctrine of mediate imputation. They cannot really be called mediate imputation at all, in the proper sense of the term. Now, Henry B. Smith, of course, you do have the espouse of mediate imputation in its historic sense. Well, that's all on the subject of mediate imputation. Going now to deal with the second group. No, this is not a vain question. It's not a question that's dictated simply by theological study. And that's directly germane to the biblical evidence, to exegesis. And particularly in the passages that are most relevant, namely Romans 5, 12 through 19, and 1 Corinthians 15, 22. As well as relevant to what you might call the biblical theological fact, the biblical theological fact, as set forth in the early chapters of Genesis. But particularly the New Testament passages, which are the inspired commentary on Genesis 3. Now you see, the question is quite obvious. Here is sin, condemnation, death. With which Paul is dealing in this passage, just as on the other side of the parallel of righteousness, justification, life. Dealing with all things. Why has sin, condemnation, and death come to reign over the whole human race? Is there any question that's more practical? Why has sin, I repeat, condemnation and death come to reign over the whole human race? And the question now is, what is precisely the relationship between the sin, the condemnation, and the death which reigns over posterity to the sin of Adam? What is the relationship? Now, if mediate imputation is correct, immediate imputation is correct. It is to this effect that the reason why sin, condemnation, and death have come to reign over the whole human race is that everyone by natural generation, everyone by natural generation, becomes depraved, inadequate, inherits a corrupt nature. Inherits a corrupt nature. Ultimately, going back to Adam, of course, as the original ancestor of all men, of all mankind. Hereditary depravity, and you have as far as the as far as posterity is concerned, ultimately going back to Adam, of course, as the original ancestor of all men, of all mankind. Hereditary depravity, and you have as far as the as far as posterity is concerned, as far as posterity is concerned, that's what you must talk about. Hereditary depravity and consequent condemnation, and that's the inevitable construction on the doctrine of mediation. You have to include hereditary depravity in order to explain. Now that puts in focus the relevant biblical data, the exegetical data. And I think when we deal with the exegetical data, we find that this construction of mediate imputation doesn't hold at all, but is expressly contradicted by the sustained emphasis of the passage. It's expressly contradicted by sustained emphasis of Romans 5, 12 through 19, and by implication in 1 Corinthians 15, 22. And that's because dealing with two immediate implications, lowercase Romans 1. We low in the opposite direction this time. Sin, condemnation, death. We'll start with death, because that's the order which the apostle takes. Death, condemnation, sin. That's the order. Please, more to ponder the order. I could do it the other way, but I'll begin.